So good to have you here today. So many guests again. I plead with all of the who claim to be regulars here. And don't say, I heard a horror story recently. I'm out of my mind right now, but who did it? I might tell on them publicly, but they said, I'm going to follow what pastor said and greet somebody. So they said, yeah, I'm so-and-so. Are you new here? And they said, I've been going here 16 years. So don't ask that, okay? Just introduce yourself and say, maybe I haven't met you or I don't remember your name. So let's please, you know what I always say, there should be no friendlier church than we are. Every life-giving church should be welcoming and friendly, so let's keep doing that. But so many guests we're blessed with, and that's going to be happening even more as we move into the school year and people are returning home. Can't wait. We have a couple of College of Worcester students down there at least, and they're going to be coming, hopefully in force, a number of them bringing friends, right? And we're going to have some of your friends over for a Sunday dinner as soon as we can schedule. I think it may be on the calendar. Joel's facilitating that. So we're excited about that. At the end of last year, I think we were having the most College of Worcester students attend at one time that we've ever had. So we're excited about that. So let's be welcoming. Let's not just dash in, dash out. Let's take our time and continue to love people the way that we should. Well, today is week two of the distance factor, what I'm calling that. And I'll just get a running start. I'll just back up a little bit. You know, if you're going to get the running start, you sometimes need to back up. So just let me give you a couple of key scriptures and a thought, and then we'll dive right into some of the symptoms. This isn't an end-all list. I don't ever have an end-all list, but this could be a part of it. So Psalm 16:8, here it is again. I hope you were thinking about this when your head hit the pillow when you awoke. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Is that a comforting verse?
Yeah.
Oh, my lands. I know. And I've circled that. I talked about that extensively last week. I know that the Lord is always with me. And then the follow-up scripture was in Psalm 16:11. It says, you will show me the way of life. And when I read that, I think, man, what's the key for the way of life? The way of life is granting me the joy of your presence. In other words, God with us, that's our joy. And the pleasures, that's a great word, the pleasures of living with you forever. So, I don't always feel him, do you? But by faith, I can declare, and I often do, I know that he's there. He's here, he's with me, because he's in my heart as a believer, as a confession saying, I am a child of God. I know that he's always with me. So I want to pick up this challenge again that I ended with last time. I think we're in a habit of when we pray having a lot of throwaway phrases, and one of this is, be with me, be with me, be with me. But for followers of Jesus, we need to say, I thank you that you are with me. You understand? It's not a request. He's already here. You don't need to ask somebody standing right next to you. I pray that you would be with me. They're with you. And better than that, he is in you. For some of us, so we need to examine our prayer life, and I don't know. I mean, that's a technical thing, but I think there's a better way to phrase it. So praise him for who he is and thank him for his nearness. By the way, we'll be in the blessing season before you know it. We're already making plans for there, Christmas nights of worship, all the outreach we're going to do. I mean, what is the meaning of Emmanuel?
God with us.
Huh. And as good as that was and is, the better part is that now he is where? He is in us. Through the person, through the presence, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's make that declaration. So I caution you to constantly stand on your guard, be on your guard, about being thrown off track by our, remember I called it fickle feelings last week? Don't allow your feelings to play you. Do you understand that? When I was in my early years, I liked to play baseball a lot, and the coaches would always say, don't allow the ball to play you. In other words, you charge the ball, you get it on the short hop, don't let it play you. And if that's true in a sport like that, and I'm sure there's others as well, but if that's true there, it's especially true when it comes to our spiritual well-being. Don't allow your feelings to play you. You have them, anticipate them, don't deny them, but don't let them have control. So I'm going to talk about a few things, again, not exhaustive, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you because your heart's open, as Pastor Sheldon prayed earlier. But the first thing I want to talk about that could cause that distance factor would be a heart that is hardening. And I'm not going to accuse anybody necessarily of having a hard heart at this moment, but it could be a hardening process because that doesn't happen overnight. Not needing feelings, listen carefully, not needing feelings can be a sign of a maturing relationship, especially spiritually. But in relationships in general, not having any feelings at all, never ever, and being numb, that can be a sign that a relationship needs some attention, some healing attention. It can be a sign of maybe drifting or forsaking or leaving. If unchecked, it can lead to a hardening of the heart. Deuteronomy, I love the Old Testament. In chapter 31, verse 8, we read these words, "But there is relevant now to us as spoken to the ones years ago. Do not be afraid or discouraged." In other words, now, when we talk about these things, I know there's all seasons. And I look at the seasons, you know, it's a lifetime of games or battles. And you can lose a battle, but how many of you know you can still win the war? So let's not get blown away because of a loss in a battle or a loss of a game, so to speak. So you're going to have a season, but don't live here. Don't camp here. Do not be afraid or discouraged as a way of life. For the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. This is an Old Testament promise. He will be with you. He'll be ahead of you, but he'll be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Any testimonies out there? He never has. He never will. We sing songs about, "You've never failed me yet." I'll say it this way, that hardening hearts can build relational plaque this way and this way. And it's unlikely that when that condition is existing that we're going to be able to sense God when there's that hard heart, hardening heart diagnosis, if you will. It's spoken about in Matthew chapter 13. I'll pick up in verse 14. "When you hear what I say," this is describing a heart that's hardening. "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." So I would say, as you're sitting there today, as I move through this message, just go palms up, at least interior in your heart, and just say, "God, check me out on this. Could if I have a tendency toward hardening, could you begin to soften my heart even here today?" Make that your prayer. As a Jesus follower, if you declare, "Yes, Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my Lord." If you declare by faith, "I am a child of God by his promises," I'm going to ask you today to examine your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to. Have you allowed your heart to grow cold or to begin to cool off? Summer's a time when it happens a lot. When the drift is on, our schedules are here, there, and everywhere. Is your heart hardening? Is there a distance factor in your life, in your most important relationship? I'm not saying there is, but I'm asking, would you be open to that? Distance factor, a hard heart, a hardening heart is a contributor. And one of the things I think that we probably have talked about from time to time, but we probably don't need to talk, we've not talked about enough, is that one of the major contributing factors that I see as a pastor all these years, one of the major contributing factors I see to a hardening heart is bitterness. Bitterness. I'm sure none of us have ever struggled with that before. I'm sure none of you are struggling with it right now. But that's a relational thing. It is. When we're let down, when we're wounded, hurt, it's easy to put up those walls, boom, and close off our hearts to people, .. and to God. And this happens, this begins to take root when we nurse and we nurture those things. And I've said over and over, and I'll say it again, bitter is never better, bitter is never best. Do any of you like bitter in your mouth? The taste of it? No. After crushing disappointments, it becomes easy to no longer trust people. You know, we just write them off. You've been hurt by a pastor, so all pastors are bad. You've been hurt in a relationship, so all guys or all girls are off limits, whatever the case may be. And I want to say it again, that this can open the door to not trusting God. And not trusting God can lead you to not trusting people. And bitterness begins to form. Hebrews 12:15 speaks to it. Look after each other. Look after, in other words, help each other out. I'm speaking to each other's lives, influence each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Where would any of us be without the grace of God? Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So a hard heart contributed to by bitterness, you're not just harming yourself, you're harming people who love you. Do you know that's true? That's why we need to allow God to settle those issues in our heart. I'll say it this way. I believe that when we allow bitterness, we nurture bitterness in our heart. You know, we can't let go of that hurt, that pain, whatever. You know what that does? It takes up God's space in our life. It takes up God's space. And the Holy Spirit wants to get rid of everything in our lives and hearts and lives that takes up God's space so we can have more of Him, more of His presence. Would you agree with that? So I don't know what the cause is. I don't know what you would blame or say or excuse your bitterness on, but it's a problem spiritually for you and for others. Ephesians 4:31 says it directly. Get rid of all bitterness. How much? How much? All of it. All it's poison. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Listen to this strong statement. As well as all types of evil behavior. To me, bitterness is in this list of evil behavior. It's listed there. So bitterness can contribute to a hardening heart. And just because you've been hurt today, I'm not claiming that God's word is saying that you're bitter. But if you don't deal with it, if you don't let God deal with it over time, it will turn into bitterness. Yeah. It will harm you and harm many. There is nothing good about it. No thing. Nothing. Well, I guess from the scripture we just read that we would have to put bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander, we'd have to put that in the group of sinfulness, but I'll make the next contributing factor would be sinfulness in our hearts and lives. Why did the Father look away from Jesus at his time of greatest needs when he was bearing the sins of the world? Because he could not, a holy God would not look upon sin. Sin plays havoc with our ability to experience and sense God. A lot of times we're blaming on him, we're blaming on him, but our lives are out of order spiritually. That's why we regularly need to pray these prayers from the Bible, search my heart and change my heart, oh God. That's a palms up prayer. Those are palms up prayer. God, if I see myself, I'll probably misjudge too hard, too easy, whatever. But Lord, I'm going before you. And even as we talk today, don't let me bring conviction on. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Say, search my heart. Show me anything you see. Is that okay? Could you allow God that privilege? Search my heart and change my heart prayers. Sin is defined many ways, but we define it in this way. Sin is a willful act against a known law of God, listen, and includes things that fall short of God's glory. How's that for a definition, guys, who teach basics? Listen, these sins in our lives that can contribute to hardness, these sins can be acts of commission and omission. That means it could be things we do and things we don't do. Sometimes God's not honored, not because of the things we're doing wrong, the horrible thing, but the things we're not doing, we're not stepping up into our calling. We're not doing what he wants us to do. They're both negative. They're both harmful. They can both create the distance factor. And by the way, when I'm describing sin, I'm speaking of ongoing sin and that you choose to give place to in your heart and life. You're not confessing, you're not repenting, you're not warring against those things. It's like, I've been there, I've done that years ago. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a posture you remain in from here till you get to heaven. You may be tolerated or rationalized or accepted sin, and over time, your heart has become desensitized and almost numb. to sin. I put it this way, our sin senses, your sin senses become dulled, and this leads to sin sickness. And a lot of times we don't even know we have the virus because it happens so gradually. Insulation's good, and they say in our weather that when it gets cold, you know, you put layers on to stay warm on the inside, but insulation keeps the, it can keep the cold out at times, but it can also keep the cold in, like this time of year. Aren't you glad about that? But it's not a good thing when we put layers, when we allow layers of sin to build up, because, and then we wonder why we're not sensing God in our lives. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's not how he created us to be. The layers separate us from what we need most in life. We can't feel the tenderness, the warmth of God's presence and love like maybe we used to. Sin's always seeking to create distance in our relationship with him. And that causes us to move away from him. He said in his word over and over, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So if there's a distance, who's moved? If the distance factor is real in your life, have you moved? God gets the blame for all kinds of things. When we've got our backs to him walking the opposite way and our lives aren't aligning with his word, and then we have the audacity to blame him for being distant? No, his goodness is running after us. He's searching for us. He's seeking for us even now. And I was thinking about it when I was working on this point that we have an example of Adam and Eve. I mean, they were created to be close to God. Would you agree with that? And they were naked and unashamed. They weren't exhibitionists. They were close to God. Naked, bare, unashamed. They were as comfortable with God probably as they were with each other. So my question to you, and I'm not accusing, I'm asking, but because we're preaching for life change, transformation. Is there any sin in your life that you've tolerated and grown comfortable with? Have you rationalized and made friends with something that is so harmful to you and those who love you? I mean, I could single out a lot, but cultural realities are jealousy and comparison. The social media has increased that enviousness and that covetousness because we want what we think other people have, even though a lot of it's not real. Anger's out of control. That's our response, not only when we're driving, but that's our first response. And it's like that sin knocks on the door and we give it permission to enter and it's harmful. It creeps in because how do you know that anger is always ugly? And lust. Looking and lusting sends us down a slippery slope that can lead to disaster and we can end up where we never thought we'd be by giving place to it, by excusing it. Everybody does it. I'm not hurting anybody. Or somebody other than your spouse saying, but pastor, we're just friends. And I go, that's the problem. These things contribute to sinfulness. Listen. Our culture has and is turning sin into entertainment. As children of God, I just say, do we really need to find our entertainment in sinful ways? By things that are an affront to God. It's everywhere and it's accepted and it's easy to cave and to buy into the lie that your tolerated sin is okay. It wasn't in the past, but it is now because you're wiser, you know better. Rather than face our sin from the reality of God's word, what God's word says, we choose to change our beliefs about it. Come on. That's what our culture's doing. That's the influence that's out there. What was wrong, what was once evil, it's no longer wrong because even worse has come along. You see, I mean, that's how Satan does. He tries to move the bar, you know? Right. He's tantalizing his tempers out here, but he's trying to move the boundaries. Yeah. We don't have to allow it. We don't have to stand for it. God wants to pull the plug and drain these things from your life. And don't just limit it to these three. There could be sub-points under each, I'm sure. Palms up, surrender. Another big one that I'll just touch on is I think in our world, we're so performance-driven. And that can become a spiritual problem. And many writers have said recently, what we find ourselves trying to get God's approval instead of living as a child of God and saying, I already have it. I'm going to live out of his approval. You know that? If you're his child, he approves of you. He loves you. And that's why he brings correction and direction. He says, there's some things that we need to take care of in your life. There's some things you're allowing in that you've compromised on. Let's get those out. Why? Because I love you. I'm not after you. Because I love you. I want your life and family, your legacy to be the best it can be. We allow him to do that. He's there. He's working all the way. And I see God as a loving Father who's with us and is close to us. He's in us. And he's saying, that's it. You're doing well. Keep up the good work. You're doing real well. Don't stop. Don't stop. That's encouragement. But it's not one and done. It's not like when you get there and sweet by and by, well done. He says, well doing right now on the journey. Well doing. I think the performance mode can really hinder us in experiencing the presence of God because we're more out seemingly to please man than we are God. And you know, we talk about, when I was a youth pastor for years, I talked about peer pressure all the time. It didn't go away, it's intensified. But Pastor Joel and I were just having a conversation briefly this morning that we even see circumstances where adults make compromising choices because of peer pressure.
Yes.
What will everybody think? I don't know about you, but I want to be focused on what God thinks. Is that okay? I want him to get glory. I want him to be honored. And I'm not saying that I do this perfectly all the time. I don't use that word except in describing God. Hopefully I try not to. But I would say that when we get into pleasing man, many times we can lose a sense of God's presence in our life. As followers of Jesus, I am a child of God. The priority of our life must be God's presence, a sense of God's presence. Well, in a sense, to turn the corner a little bit, because I put this section, I just put the heading, a growing relationship. I mentioned some of you, and you know who you are, that you've taken kids to school and that are, you know, adults now almost, and even the second or third year, it's tough, and there's a huge thing, and we have a sense that as our children and grands get older, they tend to become more independent of us, and sometimes it seems that they pull away and almost ignore us, that we aren't the priority that we used to be, and they don't come around, seems like, unless they need something, unless they have dirty laundry that they want you to wash, and this is natural and normal in a sense. They're growing up. But it's still painful. Any amens out there? And I always say, listen, if you're here with a tender heart today about that, some things are worth crying about, and this is one of them. Just cry your eyes out and be thankful for the gift of the children that you have. But in our spiritual lives, God wants us always to be close. I talk about that at memorial services a lot of times. God, he said, I love you so much that I want you always to be with me where I am. He'll be with us, in us, here, and forever. But the difference is, not like a growing, maturing child, even if we're maturing spiritually, part of that is that we want to live dependent on God, not independent of him. And I think spiritually, sometimes we can get too big for our britches and we forget how much we need God until something hits the fan and we're reminded again that we need that relationship to be going and growing. It's easy to pull away with the cares of life and get distance and live independently of him. It's not even a conscious choice once upon a time. It's just a drift. But God is leading us today to keep seeking him. Acts 17, 27, and then verse 28 speak to it. His purpose was for the nations, and I put parenthetically, people, that's like us, you and me, to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. The next verse says, for in him we live and move and have our being or exist. We are his offspring. I'm a child of God. How about you? How about you? And I can say, based upon the truth of God's word, not how I feel today, that God is with me. I know by faith that God is with me, not by my feelings. Have your feelings ever lied to you? Mine have big time. The Creator, Almighty God, doesn't need his creation. The Bible says he doesn't need a thing. It says that in Romans 11. But his creation keeps needing him, and that's a really good thing. It's okay to be needy when it comes to Almighty God. Agreed? God wants us to keep seeking him, reaching out to him, and finding him. He wants us to keep the connection alive and well at all times. Here's my point in this subpoint. That sometimes when we realize that we're kind of alone and we're feeling distant from God, that may turn our heart in a direction and focus towards him. You may start becoming desperate for a closeness of his presence that you once felt and once had. And the Holy Spirit may speaking to you even today right now and saying, yeah. Don't just compare yourself to the past, but use that as a launching point, because I want an even closer relationship moving forward. Some of you today might be on the verge, maybe in this hour, of realizing just how much you need him and how much you miss him. I remember a long time ago, I think Sharon Patterson mentioned a song, but Larnell recorded a song called "I Miss My Time With You." Has anybody ever heard that before? Larnell Harris, he's been around for years and still sings. But this is from God's perspective, and I just copied down the words to the chorus here. This is God's speaking toward you and me. I miss my time with you, those moments together. I want to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart. This is the Father's perspective. There's a longing in my heart wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. Aren't those powerful words? Do you believe that's how God feels about you? He loves you so much. He wants us to be aware of his presence. We'll sing in a little while a song that Lyndall Cooley recorded years ago. Heard a story about how the song came to be powerful, but I need you more than yesterday, more than ever before. I say often that God's attributes are found in him alone. And one of those attributes is this, that he is all everything. But listen, God is all relational, if you will. Do you hear that? God is all relationship. He's all relational. He created us so we would pursue him. God deserves and desires and delights in an intimate relationship with the likes of you and me. Imagine that. And when you really love somebody, you want to spend time with them. Would you agree with that? Man, I've missed you, Carolyn. It's been quiet in this service. You're my friend. Yeah. What she doesn't do in service, she does encourage me by text many times, and I'm thankful for that. It means the world. Jeremiah 29:13. Listen, if you look for me wholeheartedly, like right now, you will find me. Do you love those positive words?
Yeah.
You will. That's because he's here. Yeah. He's not there. Yeah, he's there, but he's here.
Right.
He's here even when he's there. Figure that out. So what I'm trying to get at is this. What happens when you are deprived of something you really, really want? You get hungry, so you... Yeah, like some of you. I hear you think I don't hear your stomachs growling sometimes first worship? Yes, I do. And I don't feel a bit bad for you, because it'll be like 1:32 before my navel gets separated from my backbone, if you will. So you get hungry, so you eat. You get thirsty, so you... And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This isn't just a cutesy song we sing. That's good theology, because God's always good. That's who he is. That's what he does. When you don't sense God's presence, you begin to understand more than ever before that you really do need him. You begin to hunger and thirst for him, and we understand hunger and thirst. We begin to look for him, and that's not bad. That's good. But I remind you, God's word tells us that just because God may feel distance today, right now, in this season, that doesn't mean he's absent. Your feelings tell you he's absent, but you may be, but he's not. He's there. He's close. He's drawing you. He's not far. He's inviting you to seek him, to look for him. And he often reveals himself in the ordinary things of a given day. Jordan was married yesterday in Colt, and in the card that we gave them, I jotted down something like this. When you invite Jesus to the wedding, he stays for the marriage. When you answer the knock on your heart and open the door to Jesus and invite him in, I've got good news. He stays. He stays. He stays. He's not a temporary guest. He's a resident. He's in you. You let him in. He didn't sneak in the back door, the side door, the attic. He's in you because you invited him in. And that's the only way that he enters. I could take time to tell you about Elijah, and I won't, but remember, we did a series on that some years ago. All these magnificent demonstrations, God assuring him that he was there, but it wasn't in these huge forces of nature, but in a whisper, in a gentle voice, he recognized him. God's here, he's working. So could I just, as I wrap it up, could I just scratch at some thoughts or some things to make it come alive a little bit? Being still, as the scripture says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know. I like that. Be still and know that I am God and will be honored by every nation, all peoples. I will be honored throughout the world, all the peoples of the world. Being still sometimes transforms us from lookers into listeners, and let's determine to be better listeners and don't miss the small things so we can hear the Elijah, the small whispers. Maybe your daily devotional, like our daily bread or YouVersion, whatever you use, maybe that verse of the day is exactly what you need. Have you ever had that happen? You thought that the Devo was written for you. Someone reaches out to you when you're in a very difficult time. They didn't even know about it necessarily, but they just text you or called you or came by. How about this? And I've had this happen and do. A child touches your heart with a simple and sincere faith-filled prayer or sometimes a sincere hug. You hear a hymn or a gospel song or a worship song, and you know that those lyrics seem to be written just for you. I mean, it's like an arrow that just hits your heart. How do you know that's God? That's God kind of clearing his throat, like, you didn't feel like church today, but you came anyway, and the message had your name on it. Don't blame Pastor Nathan for that. That's the Holy Spirit. Those things, I don't want you to miss the small things about God being near. Here's what I want you to know. Teachers, staffers going into the school, you might be someone's answer to prayer. If you catch the God prompt, if you'll just live with that extended palms up, yes, God will nudge you. And you may think it's so small and insignificant, but it's not where it lands. In times like these, and you could add your own stories, we're reminded once again, and we need to be reminded often, that God is with us. He is not far, as he's promised. He said again, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Look for me. And so I say, let's say it again today. I know God is with me right now, always. Would you repeat after me? I know God is with me right now, always. I have scriptures listed. John 16:13, he's our guide. And 14:16 of John, he's our comforter. Proverbs 18:24, he's a close friend. Philippians 4:7, he's our heavenly peace. 1 John 1:9, he's our savior. Psalm 73:28, he's our safe place. Psalm 124:8, he's our divine healer. 1 Peter 5:7, he's our care catcher, if you will. Psalm 34:17, he's your loving listener. He's attentive to our prayers. So no matter what, your situation may be, no matter what the season may be, no matter if you've lost a battle, but you haven't lost a war, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever you sense today, the invitation is come to Jesus. Don't fix yourself. Just fall on Him. Come to Jesus and live. He's not far. He's near. In Him, you live and move and have your being or exist. My friend Andre was right when he wrote the song, "It's all because of Jesus we are here." Jesus came to earth, as I mentioned earlier, to be God with us. That is what Emmanuel means. We agreed on that earlier. Now we have become His dwelling place. When God is in us, He's always with us. Why? Because we've opened our heart's door and invited Him in. I'll say it again. When we invite Him in, He's here to stay. We daily engage in what I like to call daily living. God with us, God's witness, Emmanuel labor. So teachers, staffers, don't look at what you do starting tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever you do. Don't look at it as a job. Look at it as Emmanuel labor. You're representing Him. You may be somebody's answer to prayer just by the way that you do your work. If He's in us, how could it not be Emmanuel labor? If He's our breath, He's our reason for living. If in Him we live and move and breathe, then He's there. He's always with us because He's in us. I know by faith. I don't feel it all the time, but I'm declaring it out loud. I'm going to say it today. I'm going to say it when the sun's shining, when it's cloudy and rainy. I'm going to say, I know God is with me right now. He always is. I want to declare that by faith, not by my feelings, because I'm going to tell you, your faith is not your feelings. Out loud. So I close with this. It's not, is He with us? It is, are you with Him? Are you with Him? For some of you, man, I get concerned about this. We just come and go, come and go, come and go. We dip in, dip out. This is about life change. Worship of Almighty God, that's about life change. It's about the priority of our life, about His presence. He's been knocking faithfully so many times. And I just want to ask, can you really testify and say that God is with me? I know He's there and He works conveniently to draw yourself to Him, but really, He comes in when we answer the door and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today, as we sang as kids, many of us. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's how you get to heaven. But I want to tell you, that's how you also get to heaven on earth. A reality of His presence, that He is with you always. I'm going to invite you to stand quietly. I love it that we've been using the altars more regularly again lately, and I just want to encourage that. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I'm going to have Nate lead us a little bit. You may or may not know the song, but it's simple. But would you be obedient? Maybe some of you want to come forward and just bow, stand, kneel, sit, whatever, and just go palms up, and you want to pray that prayer, Lord, those prayers. Show me what it is, Lord. If there's a distance factor, Lord, if there's sinfulness, if there's bitterness creeping in my heart, whatever, but I may not even know. I just want to go palms up, and I say, God, I'm all yours. I want the reality of the nearness of the relationship. I want your presence to be a priority in my life. No compromise. And maybe some of you want to declare, I know that God is always with me right now because I've said yes to Him. I've confessed, repented, turned from my sin. My life is in your hands. Whatever the case may be. And this isn't just for people that don't know the Lord yet. It's for people that have been walking for years. Maybe there's a distance factor. Let's get it taken care of today. Let's leave here differently than when we came. You can pray where you are, and I bless that. There's just something about putting feet to it and just saying, I need you more. Father, as we conclude and sing a moment here, help us to just hold steady, because what we're heading off to is not nearly as important as this life-changing moment. This is what really matters. That's what worship is all about. It's, we're coming back. The heart of worship, which is, it's about you, about your presence. So may every heart in here do what their heart longs to do and turn toward you. I pray that distance factors will be taken care of, that the distances will be negated, and there'll be a closeness that there hasn't ever been or hasn't been for a long time. So we open our hearts to you and say yes.